Take your Bible and open to Mark chapter 11. We'll be there in a moment. Seems appropriate as we look at what's going on in the world around us. Could you imagine? Let's just use your imagination for a moment. Imagine if Jesus were to have a press conference. How would that go? You in the back, your question. Up here in front of you. No, you're fake Christians. You're just fake Christians. You know, whatever. I don't know, you know, how that would go. Imagine if Jesus were to just say, okay, ask me whatever you want to ask. I'm here to answer your questions. A lot of people are uneasy about asking Jesus questions. Some people think that maybe it's wrong to ask Jesus questions, that it's maybe a question of their faith and we should just believe things. We'll come back to that concept a little bit later. But just for now, think to yourself, if you had the opportunity to ask Jesus any question, what would you ask? And think very broadly here, because these questions might range from the silly to the serious, from the philosophical to the personal. I did a little work on the internet looking for questions that people had for Jesus, and a wide variety of questions popped up. Some you might imagine, like why is there evil and suffering in the world, and things like that. Some people wanted to know apparently what kind of music that God listens to. Yeah, and of course we already know he listens to the Beatles. But see, at Crossroads we know these things. But you might have more personal questions, like, you know, why did my loved one have to die? Why am I in this difficult situation? The classic theodicy, the justification of sin, suffering, and evil in the world. All of those different questions. With that in mind, I want you to see a situation in Mark chapter 11 where people, in particular religious leaders, came to ask Jesus some questions. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 27. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you authority to do this? Now, these things they're asking about are not just his teaching in the temple grounds, but the miracles, the things he'd done on the Sabbath, everything. This is basically a summary as we're coming, and this is Tuesday of the week of the Passion, Tuesday of the week that Jesus would be crucified. Everything in his earthly ministry is coming to a culmination now. So they ask, you know, by what authority do you do this? Jesus replied, I will ask you one question, answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, that is John the Baptist, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me. They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he'll ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, and by the way, I got to tell you, every now and then I point out weaknesses in different Bible translations, the New International Version, my preferred translation. Sometimes they don't do a real good job. Here's a place where they did a really good job. If you have the New International Version, you'll notice that they put an ellipsis there and then a parenthetical statement, because that's really the gist of what Mark was trying to say there. And so they say, well, if we say from men, they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. And Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Now, I got to tell you, I really believe, not just because I have to, but I believe with all my heart, that today's message, like hopefully every message, is God's Word. I mean, we just read God's Word. This is the Bible. I believe that the message that I have today is a message from God for us to hear. But I got to tell you, looking over it, and as I was reviewing it towards the end of the week and even this morning, I thought, you know, it just seems kind of academic. There's some doctrinal, philosophical points. Last week, I brought a message. If you were here, there was an extremely personal application for all of us. And I knew that going in. I knew, having studied the text, I got the gist of the text. And I thought, man, people are going to get this on a very personal level. This week, I'm looking at the text, and I'm thinking, okay, I know I've studied this. I know this is what God's trying to say. And this is the message. But it just seems a little academic. Now, I'm saying that from the outset, because here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray and be sincere. A lot of times preachers do this. You know, they pray the intro to their sermon, go something like this: Dear God, I pray that everybody would be listening as I share today in today's message, and they'll hear me when I say, and da 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 da. That's not what I'm saying. What I want you to do is pray and sincerely open your heart. Be open to what God has for you, because I believe this is God's message. And last week, I could point to it and say, look, I know this is the part that you need to hear. Each one of us need to hear this part. This week, I'm just throwing it out there, knowing that there's something in here. that you need to hear. I'm not sure what it is, but you'll know when you hear it. Let's talk about asking Jesus questions. There are a lot of people in this day and age who have sort of an attitude of, well, I'd like to sit Jesus down and have a little talk with him. There are a lot of people who have this odd concept. They think that someday when Jesus returns, they're going to walk up to him and say, good, I'm glad you're here. There's a few things I'd like to straighten out. You know, I just don't see it working that way. And then, how many of you, by the way, have had a chance to see the film, I Can Only Imagine? Okay, I'm sure it's an excellent movie. I haven't seen it yet, but I know the story. And I love the song. But that just really epitomizes sort of the, you know, what's it going to be like when we see Jesus face to face? You know, so a lot of people have a lot of weird ideas, and they think they're going to give Jesus, a stern talking to or something like that. It doesn't quite work that way. And then on the other extreme, there are people who, they hesitate to ask questions of themselves or of God. Because they've, for some reason, for some reason they've come to believe that asking questions is bad. And maybe even sacrilegious. And I want you to know that that is not true. So with that in mind, if you'd like to ask Jesus questions, there's three points out of the text. First is to know this. Jesus welcomes serious seekers with honest questions. Throughout the scripture, Jesus challenges people to seek, challenges people to ask. Jesus welcomes serious seekers with honest questions. Now, Matthew and Luke give us a few more details on this episode. They tell us by reading Mark here, you might get the impression that Jesus was just kind of like walking around the temple grounds. And the temple grounds was, this is not a perfect analogy, but it'll make sense for us. It is almost like a park-like setting, and the temple was on one edge of it. The temple itself was only roughly 15 by 30. It was not real huge, but that's because people didn't go into the temple. Only the priests went into the temple. So things were a little bit different later. But the temple grounds were a little more extensive than that, and there were areas that certain people were allowed and certain people weren't allowed, and different things happened and so on. By reading Mark, you might get the impression that Jesus was just kind of like wandering across the park, if you will, and these guys cornered him and asked him questions. Matthew and Luke tell us that Jesus was actually teaching. And so, do you see what's happening here? They're interrupting Jesus. Now, again, in that culture, and still in many cultures today, not in this culture, don't want to give you any ideas, this was not unusual. Even Greek philosophers who would have dialogue with their students or purport or create dialogue, that's the way it was. But what I want you to see is while Jesus is teaching, these religious leaders come up and interrupt and ask him this question, and he doesn't say, how dare you interrupt the teaching of the Word of God? How dare you interrupt? He doesn't have, anybody ever see The Wizard of Oz? Okay. How dare you approach the Great Oz? You know, no, they engage him, and he engages right back, and it's really interesting the way that they do engage. Jesus is not afraid to take questions. God can handle your questions. Throughout the Gospels, people ask Jesus questions. Strangers, disciples, civil authorities, religious leaders. Almost always, Jesus answers their questions. The only time Jesus didn't answer, well, there are a few exceptions when Jesus didn't answer. And it mostly had to do with the person who was asking and their motive and so on. Matthew 7, it's a passage we looked at last week, but let's go ahead and turn over there. I want to take a second. Matthew comes right before Mark. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, this is right in the middle of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. I think Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is a good summary of most of the teachings of Jesus. If you want to get the short story version of the teaching of Jesus, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There's enough there that'll keep you busy. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door will be opened. You know, the bottom line is you can't know if you don't ask. You won't find, you ever lose your car keys? What do? I'm just going to sit here and pray that God brings my car keys to me. No, you got to go look for them. Now, it probably wouldn't hurt to pray that God will help you, you know, to find them or whatever the case may be. But listen, if you want to find something, whether it's your car keys or the answer to the most serious questions in life, you're going to have to ask the questions. You're going to have to look for the answers. You're going to have to knock on a few doors. I want you to get this. A lot of people, and unfortunately too many Christians, have the idea that Christianity is a blind faith. Listen, blind faith doesn't ask questions. But Christian faith is not blind faith. Christian faith asks the important questions. Now, to be fair, sometimes some Christians ask dumb questions because we're human. But God encourages us, Jesus specifically invites us, to ask serious and honest questions. Is there something that's keeping you from being more fully committed as a follower of Jesus? Is there something that's keeping you from giving your life to the Lord? Is there something that's keeping you from living God's will in your life? Why? Well, I always wondered about, well, ask the question. Ask me. I might or might not have an answer for you. Ask God. He'll definitely have an answer for you. And just listen to where that might be coming from. So understand this. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. God invites us, wants us to ask questions if we're serious and if we're honest. Second, I want you to know this about Jesus, and that is that Jesus invites people into dialogue. Again, this was the teaching method of the day. This is what Jesus most commonly engaged in. You know, it struck me as I was reading through the gospel accounts of how many times Jesus would introduce a parable, and we'll see this week after Easter. I actually have decided I'm going to go ahead and do a special Easter message. Spoiler alert, he rose. Okay? Just in case you didn't know that. But it struck me how many times Jesus introduces his parables with this phrase, "What do you think?" You find that phrase many times on the lips of Jesus. So what do you think? I want you to think about this. Remember, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. There's a great dialogue that Jesus had with his closest followers. And again, this is one of those things, you've probably heard it before if you've been in church any length of time, but maybe you don't fully appreciate the kind of the nature of this conversation. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. When they came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples this question: who do people say that the Son of Man is? He just throws it out there. So who do people say that the Son of Man is? And it says, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So good things. Notice he doesn't say, well, let's talk about those. What do you think about that? He turns the question then this way. He says, so what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. All of that began with not just a question by Jesus, but a challenge to engage him in conversation. Hey, what do people say? What do you think? It's possible. Listen, perhaps you're facing a dilemma in your life right now, moral, spiritual, financial, emotional, related, whatever. We all face different dilemmas at different times in our lives, and some for some of us, it's the pattern of our life. But you know, it's possible. We typically, as Christians, we have this weird feeling that if life is difficult, something's wrong. Now, that might be true. You know, if you're experiencing abdominal pain, you might be pregnant. No. Or have appendicitis, or maybe you just got some bad Mexican food. You know, sometimes pain is indicative of something that's wrong. But it's possible that the dilemma that you are facing, the difficulty that you are currently experiencing, and by the way, difficulty might be circumstances, or it could be a person or people. You know, those people that you have to deal with them all the time because, well, they're your kids. Or, you know, you work with them, or they're your neighbors, or whatever. This difficulty, or this circumstances, whatever it is, perhaps this is the Lord's way of inviting you into a personal dialogue. Not just with those people, but with him. Throughout the Psalms, the psalmist says things like, why, O Lord? And then there are answers to be found there. Maybe the Lord wants you to ask, why? It's okay to ask why. With that knowledge, though, you have to ask yourself this question. Do you really want to know why? I love the one bumper sticker I saw once said, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is because you're stupid and make bad choices. Yeah. Do you really want to know why things are going bad in your life? That is a real possibility, but there are other possibilities as well. Do you really want to know? Now, I want you to know, by the way, let's get a little philosophical here. This is a distinctive aspect of a Christian worldview. That is, other world religions, generally speaking, other religions, and certainly agnostic and atheistic philosophies do not believe this, but what we as Christians believe is that there is reason that exists. There's a reason why things happen. Whether or not it's God's perfect will or not, that's a much deeper debate. But simply put, as Christians, we do not believe that life, including the circumstances of your life and my life, we do not believe that life is random. Knowing that that's true, that life is not random, when life seems to be random, that's when we should ask the question, okay, I know life's not random, so what's going on here? What is the Lord trying to tell me? Have I stepped away from God's will? Have I made bad choices? Or is the Lord just trying to direct me in a direction that I would not otherwise have considered? Recognize that Jesus invites people into dialogue. That means not just asking questions, but listening for answers. Now, that said, last point I want to make based on the text in Mark 11 is simply this. All right, so we get it. Jesus welcomes our questions. He wants to have a dialogue with us. But here's what might keep us from asking questions. We need to acknowledge that Jesus is allowed to ask you questions too. Think back to Mark 11. What happened there? So these religious leaders come to Jesus and they ask him a question. What gives you the right? Who gives you the authority to do what you're doing? And Jesus does what seems to be he evades their question, but he's not really evading their question. I'll come back to that in a second. He says, well, you know what? I'll answer your question, but first let me ask you a question. See, Jesus is not actually evading or avoiding the question. What he's doing is he's clarifying their question. He's essentially saying, well, why do you want to know? Why are you asking this? Do you really want to know? If I tell you that I have authority given by God, will you say, okay, good enough for us? Of course not. And so Jesus asks a question that, by the way, it's a brilliant question. I would never have thought of this. Hey, John the Baptist, his baptism, was that of God or of men? You see, the truth is, the answer to that question is the same as the answer to their question. What gives you the authority to do this? Are you of God or of men? And so by Jesus asking that question, I don't know that he was necessarily trying to trap them. Maybe he was trying to give them a way out. I can't get to the motive of it. But the answer to both questions is the same. I think it's interesting. Now remember, these are the religious leaders of the day. This is sort of, imagine if you were in Washington, D.C., and you were standing in front of the Supreme Court, and all 9 Supreme Court justices came out. And they said, what gives you the right to be here? And you said, well, first, let me ask you a question. And then the Supreme Court, and so you asked a question about the law, and the all 9 members of the Supreme Court, they say, we don't know. What would you think? You think, come on, if anybody's supposed to know, you guys are supposed to know. That's what Jesus does with these religious leaders. They are the Supreme Court justices of their day. And so he asks the question that really matters. John's baptism, from God or of man? Because, like I said, same thing for Jesus' authority. I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't ask them a general doctrinal or even a moral question, something that they could have easily answered and gotten correct. He asked them the one question that they could not answer because they probably knew the answer, but to give it would have been self-incriminating. So they, if we can impose a little constitutional law on them, they pled the fifth. We don't know. We refuse to answer. All right, so what? Here's what I want us to get. We clearly recognize that as Christians, It's okay to ask questions. That's how we grow in our faith. The truth is, and there are a lot of versions of Christianity that don't adhere to this. That's unfortunate. There are a lot of Christians that don't like being challenged. I don't like, and please, I don't want to change the way we do things here. I don't want to turn the sermon time into a dialogue, so please don't shout out or stuff like that unless you're saying amen, you know. But because that's not today's culture. It'd be awkward. But I invite you into dialogue. I have no problem discussing things with people with whom I might disagree on significant issues, because Christianity is all about answers. You know my life verse, 1 Peter 3:15. In your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. That's sort of the epitome of how we're supposed to live our lives in our community, engaging people, asking questions and answering questions and being able to say, well, I'm not really sure on that. Let me check with the scripture. Let me ask some other believers and so on. Christianity is all about answers. But before you bring your questions to God, which God welcomes, recognize that Jesus gets to ask you a question. And you know what that question is. I don't know what that question is for you. I suppose the most important one is, who do you say that he is? But beyond that, the beginning of this message, I challenged you to think of a question that you can ask Jesus. If you could ask Jesus anything, from the silly to the serious, from the deeply philosophical to the solidly theological, whatever the case may be, think of that question. And I want you to know, you have the freedom to ask Jesus that question. But know this. If Jesus could ask you one question, what's the one question you fear? What's the one question that you'd really rather not talk about with the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you, that's the question he's going to ask. There are at least three areas, and I want to challenge you to this, three areas that Jesus might ask about. I've summed it up in three words, and hopefully I can express this well. First is, Jesus might ask about morality. He might ask, hey, so that thing that you're doing, why? I don't know if you can read that or not. Thou shalt not cheat, lie, steal, all those kind of things. And then the other tablet is basically, unless you've got a really good reason for it, of course not. That is, Jesus has a right as Lord. We say Jesus is Lord. He has a right to challenge our behavior and how we are personally. Second, Jesus might ask about community. I love this cartoon. It's from Pontius Puddles. Sometimes I'd like to ask God why he allows poverty, famine, and injustice when he could do something about it. What's stopping you? I'm afraid he might ask me the same question. You know, we look at what's going on in the world around us and say, why doesn't somebody do something about this? That's a really good question. That's a really good question. We have this idea that, you know, we're going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, why did you let, you know, 28,000 children in the world die every day because they don't have clean drinking water? And he might say, you know, that's a really good question. What's your answer? And God has given us... We could solve a lot of our community's problems. And by community, I mean the world community, let alone State Line and Hagerstown and Maryland, Pennsylvania, and the United States. And we could solve a lot of problems if we would just be responsible. And so if you want to ask Jesus a question about what's wrong in the world, he might ask us the same question. But ultimately, I do believe that Jesus might ask about allegiance. Timothy Keller said, the essence of Christian obedience is not do's and don'ts, but personal allegiance to Jesus. This is what we read in Matthew earlier. Who do you say that I am? We say that Jesus is Lord, but is he really? I mean, of course he is, but do we live like he is? Now listen, let me make this point as I wrap it up. We're actually going to finish early. Ralph doesn't have a song. We're going to watch a video at the end. At the end of the video, I'll come up and have some closing words. You might be a moral person. You might follow the moral precepts of Christianity. You might be moral but not nice. Or another way to put that is you might be good but a jerk. You could be nice but not moral. You might be neither moral nor nice. You could be both moral and nice but not saved. The reality is you're not really, Jesus might be Lord, but he's not your Lord. You are your Lord. I want to encourage you to bring your questions to Jesus. Bring them to me, bring them to the Word. I may not have all the answers. I know I don't have all the answers. I want you to look at your Bible. If you still got it open to Mark chapter 11. You know, the translators add these paragraph headings that are not a part of the inspired text. Mark didn't actually write these words. But in my Bible, right before this paragraph, it says these words, "The authority of Jesus questioned." Because that's what these religious leaders were doing, right? They were questioning the authority of Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Are you questioning the authority of Jesus? Are you saying, "All right, Lord, I want to ask you a question, but I don't want to answer any questions"? That's where it's got to start. Let's stand together. No, remain seated, because we're going to watch a video. Let's pray, and then we'll see the video. Father, right now, may our hearts be open to what you have for us, that we might understand who we are, who we can be. Lord, I do pray if there's anybody here who's never made a decision to be a follower of Jesus, I pray that today you will somehow touch their heart in such a way that they get it. They feel it and hear it, and they hear your calling in their soul, an undeniable spiritual event in their life, Lord, that they might respond to your call in their life. And Lord, for the rest of us, may our spirit be open to what your Spirit has for us today. In Jesus' name.